A trailer for a new movie, Civil War. Civil War has dropped. The film's plot centers around Texas and California branching off from the rest of the country.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
Welcome to Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael. Joining me is Pastor Josh Schwartz. And Josh, I got to tell you, this is one of those programs I thought we'd have to do sometime. I was hoping we wouldn't have to do, but after watching that daunting clip, unfortunately, fiction has may become reality here soon.
Yeah, I think this is another episode I never thought we'd have to do or want to have to do, but here we are.
And as I've traveled across the country and spoken at various conferences and churches, I think the one question I'm asked most is there going to be a civil war here in America? And my answer always is, well, there already is to some extent. We're already underway here. If you look at what's going on politically and yes, socially and what's going on in the religious world, yeah, we're already at a civil war. We are so divided in this country. People have picked their sides and they're digging in, and there's not going to be much movement. I don't foresee much movement at all. There's very little middle ground anymore in any of this.
Right. And, you know, while we might not necessarily be in a physical war where bloodshed is taking place, we are definitely in the beginning stages of what I would call an ideology war, ideological war.
Absolutely. And then when you look at the predictive programming out there and the recent movies that have come out, I know the Obamas put out on Netflix, Leave the World Behind series that was on, and you just saw the trailer from the movie called Civil War, which depicts a tyrannical government that comes to power and then the people push back. And I have to be honest with you, I don't know whether or not or how long it's going to be before that happens, but I do know, and I've spoken to patriotic Americans, people that have served this country that said, hey, we didn't fight and risk our lives and our brothers gave their lives for this kind of government, because what we're seeing, folks, is tyranny. And this is what every government does right before a tyrannical Marxist communist government takes over. We're doing exactly the same thing. We're a step and a half maybe away from that actually happening.
Yeah. And I think it was really telling in that clip where you see the gentleman say, we're Americans, what's going on here? And yet the other one says, okay, what kind of Americans are you?
Exactly.
It's this dichotomy of freedom-loving, democratic patriots who love America and what America means versus a socialist type of ideology. And I think with social programming, blame washing, subliminal imaging, and cultural constructs here, you've only seen it in the movies, but we also see it in books. There's a book that just came out about a month ago by two professors on the East Coast called White Rural Rage. And it talks about how statistically the white rural voter, who is generally Christian and quite patriotic and nationalistic, has quite a bit of electoral college sway. And they dive in and they build a huge dichotomy in the book claiming, saying that these white rural people are, let me just tell you, racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, conspiracists. They're anti-democratic. They don't believe in independent press or free speech. They are COVID deniers and science deniers. That is the characteristics of white rural America.
And they've already looped us into that, like we talked to in previous programs, as Christian nationalists. And it's almost like everything they're accusing the other side of doing, they're actually doing.
Yeah, think about it. It's insane. We have this clip here of what President Biden wants.
Exactly. We showed you the fictional side of this. Now let's hear what the government, what our leaders are actually saying and doing. Check this clip out.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
This president is the very first in American history to declare that his principal opponent and his legitimate opposition and essentially half the electorate are outside the bounds of acceptable political discourse and are essentially traitors to the republic.
You need an F-16. You don't need an AR-15.
No, I'm serious when you think about it. I'm not joking, because that's one of the arguments made by, right, that we need to be able to protect ourselves against the government.
Well, look.
They're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies.
Is this really class warfare, Robert? What is this push for equity and not equality, I might add? What is it all about?
It's very much class warfare, Gary. It's all about trying to sow division between various groups in American society and ultimately making everyone a dependent of the all-powerful federal government.
Blind loyalty to a single leader and a willingness to engage in political violence is fatal to democracy. So I want to say this plain and simple. There is no place for political violence in America, period. None, ever.
So, Josh, what he's doing is demonizing his opponents.
Yep.
And he's basically mocked and laughed at those that think, hey, we're going to do whatever we want. And if you try and step in and do something about it, well, you're going to need an F-16 or a Black Hawk helicopter to stop us. I mean, he's said that numerous times, and they laugh about it.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? A president who is willing to send an F-16 or an F-22 or a Black Hawk helicopter or people from their own military against its own citizens, especially a president of the United States.
Well, and we see in some of these Hollywood movies that fiction becomes reality. And you saw in that clip, that's exactly what happened. The military ends up turning against the citizens that oppose it. And when you look at the Second Amendment, Josh, most people don't discern that properly. They think it's for hunting or home protection. But the Second Amendment is actually set up to stop a tyrannical government when it comes to power. And I think you're going to see groups that are already forming, have already formed, that are willing to step up and do something about it. I pray that doesn't happen. I pray there's not violence. But unfortunately, if we stay on this trajectory, I think that's where it's headed.
Yeah, and that's deeply unfortunate. And I think it's really interesting that President Biden ended that clip there by saying there is no place in America for political violence. But hasn't the left created political violence in multiple different forms over the last 4 years? Let's say George Floyd riots. Let's say Antifa riots. Let's think pro-Palestinian riots. Is that not politically driven violence?
And basically, they're just allowing that to happen. When it gets out of hand, they might step in and try and slow it down. But they've actually allowed that, where their opposition, man, they are heavy-handed. They're stepping in. You've got older women praying at abortion clinics that are being handcuffed and taken to jail, where some of these other protesters, they're just let free. So we're seeing this class warfare, like they said, and the plan is to create a crisis which they've done. This is our government and the people in power creating an actual crisis. Then they oversee these new policies that they're going to have to implement. And then finally, they're going to manage the outcome. And I can tell you, when it comes, we've already lost the First Amendment, most of our First Amendment rights. You can't just say anything anytime online or, sure. Even in the news or
in our public.
Exactly. Our ministries have been censored before. But you can't, so they're going to come after the Second Amendment now. And people think, oh, they're going to have this big, they'll ask you to turn in your guns at some point, I'm sure. But there's millions of guns in the United States of America. They're not going to be able to confiscate all of them.
Sure.
So what they'll do is implement laws, and I can foresee President Biden initiating martial law, where anyone caught with a firearm, mandatory jail time, mandatory heavy fine.
Yeah.
If you're caught with a firearm. That I could see our government doing, because I don't think these people are going to give up power.
Right.
I mean, I think they have positioned themselves for this upcoming election, and we've got two conventions coming up, two political conventions coming up here shortly, and that'll be a good barometer to see how violent things are going to get.
Exactly.
Because one's in Chicago, one's in Milwaukee. They're going to have the rent-a-rioters come in. They've already have the funding to bring people in to cause chaos and trouble.
Yep.
And then along with the people that already live in those areas, I think the potential for political violence is just huge. So recently, Redacted had a program, and it was a great program. I want to show you people what's happening south of our border that our government is actually funding and help to bring all of these hundreds and thousands, and we know now probably 10 million illegals have crossed our borders and have been flown in the last 3 years. So let's take a look and listen to the people that were actually down in Panama here recently.
Like independent journalists are shining a light in dark places, could be resulting in some major shifts right now.
The majority of the state sponsors of terror are moving these, quote, migrants, and they're not, it's an invasion army, through the Darien Gap, up through Central America. This is funded by the American taxpayer through the United Nations Immigration organization, non-governmental organization of choice, known as IOM, the International Organization for Migration, as well as other NGOs like HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Yeah. A lot of Chinese immigrants, if you will, migrants or invasion army come through there, and they are mostly men of military age. And then the camp mysteriously was torched, specifically the offices that have the immigration records of who have processed through that camp on their way to the United States, in addition to the agents, the immigration agents, and in addition to the center front agents. So everything was wiped out, which is very, very suspicious, considering this was less than a week after us being there. The military is setting up what's called MEPS stations along the border at border checkpoints, border security, where Customs and Border Protection have already temporary facilities for processing. One immigrant, invader will be sent in one direction, and another will be sent towards a MEPS facility for the military. Why are they doing this? They're already selecting migrants, invaders, to be processed for a pathway to citizenship inside our military. Now, you have to also factor in that these illegal invaders are also getting debit cards for $2,200 a month from, again, the U.S. taxpayer. That being said, we know we're going into another banking collapse. It's going to be another cascading event of regional bank failures because the Fed is cutting off the spigot on Monday the 11th. When that happens, you have to ask yourself, how much longer will these invaders be allowed to have their EBT cards refilled every month? When you're cut off from your bank and we're cut off from our bank, what do you think is going to happen to the illegals when they're cut off from their funds and you can't put food on the table? This is the table that is being set for a full-blown civil war in this country that is going to get very, very bloody. And again, it's all being funded by the taxpayer, who is blindly walking themselves to the gallows by allowing the federal government to fund the United Nations.
So, Josh, I never thought I would see this in the United States. The United States actually funding not only illegal immigrants to come into this country, but potential terrorists to come into this country,
right,
funding a camp south of our border with what we now know was about $18 million. Secretary Mayorkas went down there in 2022 and helped set this all up. And as I said earlier, these immigrants can't get here without help.
Right.
And a lot of them are young Chinese people of military age. And I've said this over and over again, the Chinese do not allow men of military age to just walk off and leave their country. This is being planned. This is intentional. And the question is, what are they going to do when they get here? And then, of course, we saw and heard that they kept records on these people.
Yeah.
And the records were burnt in a fire after these guys left about a week later. And it was just that building where the records were kept. So why would they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to get rid of the paper trail, right? You have to, if we know that we're funding them coming through, we're tracking who's coming, we can pin it back on the American government of this person was here at this time. But if they literally burn the records, there is no paper trail.
What if they were involved in a upcoming terrorist attack and we actually funded them and allowed them and got them here legally and paid for it, and we were paying them up until the point they committed the terrorist right. act? So they're getting rid of the paper trail, as you said. They're giving them $2,200 and more a month to survive.
Plus a cell phone and a place to stay.
And now the sad thing is, and I know this for a fact from my law enforcement friends, law enforcement and our military are so shorthanded right now that now they're going to fund them and give them the opportunity to join our military
right.
and to join our law enforcement agencies. They're actually, in some states, allowing them and giving them permits to carry firearms before they even get jobs.
Right, incentivizing it with a pathway to citizenship through different means like military service and public safety service. It's insane.
Folks, this is the definition of insanity, but it actually is the definition, and I'll say it again, I'm going to say it over and over again, this is the definition of the Great Reset. If you thought this was some type of conspiracy theory, we're seeing it being played out right now.
Right.
And Ann Vandersteel said something very interesting in this interview. I want to play just a short clip from this because I heard this when President Obama was in power and I was still in law enforcement. I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. I want you to listen to this clip very carefully. It's just a short clip and then we'll comment on it.
Now you have invaders, an army with guns, just like President Obama wanted to have. He wanted to have his own private army. They are importing it. The United Nations is collaborating. Again, we are the biggest funders of the UN through their NGO partners and importing these people from state sponsors of terror.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
And there you have it, folks. We're seeing hope and change that President Obama defined back when he first ran for president. We're seeing that come to fruition right now. And I like I said, I remember when I was in law enforcement, I'm going, what is he talking about? We need a civilian law enforcement agency to oversee what is it? And then the first thing that came to my mind, I'm thinking, wow, this sounds like the Gestapo or something.
Sure.
I mean, this is what the Germans did.
Think about it. Through immigration, since Biden took office, we've seen over 8.7 million people come across the southern border. That is a population that's larger than 36 different U.S. states.
That's incredible.
And plus, then you've got on top of that, you've got a million immigrants coming since January of 2024. And of those, 20,000 Chinese nationals, communist Chinese nationals, all coming across the border since the Biden administration. Is it outrageous?
It's daunting. And to think that, hey, there's a political solution. If we just get this person or this party in, yeah, we need to go out there and vote, and we need to vote for good candidates. I'm not saying that. But we are on a trajectory to completely see the United States, the republic for that we've known all of our lives, being destroyed. And I think we need to turn to God. I think we need to turn to the Bible, because I know Matthew 24 and other verses talk about, you know, what's going to happen to nations. Romans 1 talks about when you turn away from God. And folks, the United States hasn't turned away from God. That ship sailed years ago.
Sure.
We are in outright rebellion against God, and God has something to say when a nation rebels against him.
Yeah, and it's like Jan says often, things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place.
Exactly.
And we are trending towards the tribulation, and we see this trend laid out by Jesus himself in Matthew 24. Let me just read an extended portion of Matthew 24 just to set the stage. Matthew 24, 3 and following says this, "And he," that is Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one leads you astray.'" So there needs to be discernment here. Verse 5, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Then nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of the birth pains." So, Ken, this is Jesus telling us these things are going to take place. These are the beginnings of the birth pains. We know what birth is like. The contractions come on and they speed up more and more, and there is no turning back once the contractions happen. Same thing here. These things are going to take place. Jesus told us they would take place, and now there's no turning back. They're going to become more and more rapid as we trend closer and closer towards the tribulation period.
Yeah, and that one verse, I believe it's in the Greek, it's ethnos against ethnos, which means these ethnic groups are going to come against each other. And man, we're on the tail end of it. We're just seeing the beginning of what's already occurred overseas and in most of the world. If you look around the world right now, there aren't not just rumors of wars, but there's actual wars going on. There's like over 110 fighting scenarios going on worldwide, and it's growing. So we're seeing God's word being fulfilled, and we need to be watchmen on the wall right now. We need to be prepared. We need to tell people what's coming. This is probably one of the most difficult programs I think we've done so far, as far as getting the word out and warning people.
And it's important with all these wars that are taking place, we need to keep in mind what's happening in Jerusalem, what's happening in Israel. We need to continue to be praying for the people of Israel, because, yes, we know that they've pulled back a little bit at this point to rest and prepare for what's next, because there is more coming, as there should be. Israel has to take care of the terrorist group Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and all proxies of Iran. And we need to be praying for them often. And Jesus tells us to do the exact same thing.
Exactly.
And it can be, like you said, this is a hard program. These are things that are really hard to deal with. But the truth of the matter is this: we don't have our hope in this empty, broken world. We have our hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, who came to a broken world to pay the penalty for humanity's sin, so that we could have eternal life in him. Listen to what John says as he introduces Jesus in John chapter 1. He says this in John 1, verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But," verse 12, "to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." John is telling us Jesus came to deal with sin and to pay for sin and to purchase humanity for himself, to give us eternal life. So, friend, the question is this: if you have not placed your faith in Jesus, if you've put your hope in this world scheme or political leaders, they're not going to bring you eternal salvation. They are going to lead you to ultimate hopelessness and destruction. The only one who will give you hope and eternal salvation is Christ Jesus. So please place your faith in him, hope in him, look to him. I want to conclude all of this with what Paul tells us in the book of Colossians. He is reminding the believers at Colossae of these precious truths of where we need to keep our perspective in all this brokenness. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4 says this: "If then, or since then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." That's where we keep our hope fixed, heaven-minded. We are heavenly focused so that we can be earthly good, and we can warn and we can tell the people of the hope of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Those are great verses to hold on to. And people, you know, will say, well, what do I do? What can I do? Make sure that your house is in order, that you, your family, your friends are secure. Take care of your family, your neighborhood, your community. That's where it starts, because we can't take care of any of these major big problems until we take care of our own house. And that's what I always tell people. Make sure your house, your community, your city, your county is on track and not buying into all of this. Right. And that's the only way we can make a difference and expand out globally. So great words of advice. Well, folks, we're going to be doing some traveling. We're going to be doing some conferences. So on Friday, April 19th and Saturday, April 20th, I'll be in Kiowa, Kansas at the Southern Baptist Conference for a prophecy conference. And joining me will be Dr. J.B. Hixon. If you haven't heard J.B. speak, he's a wonderful teacher of the Bible and Bible prophecy. J.B. will be speaking Friday evening, April 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. and then Saturday morning, April 20th from 9 to noon. And then from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be speaking, and then I'll close it out from 6 to 9 p.m. And then if you weren't able to join us in Orlando for the last Prophecy Watchers Conference, there's another one coming up June 27th through the 30th. We'll be in Colorado Springs, and I hope you can join us. There'll be a number of speakers. I believe there's going to be about 28 speakers at this conference. I'll be there. Pastor Mark Henry will be there. I hope you can join us. It's going to be a wonderful time in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And Josh, I know you've got a couple of engagements coming up.
Coming up in April, April 12th and 13th, I'll be in Holland, Minnesota at First Presbyterian Church of Holland. Then following that up on April 26th or 27th and 28th, I'll be in the D.C. area, Silver Spring, Maryland, at the People's Community Baptist Church, doing a conference there. It's going to be a great time. And then also coming up in June, we have our Pastor's Huddle. This will be our third Pastor's Huddle. It's going to be a fantastic time. So if you're a pastor and you want to come and be encouraged and equipped on how to turn your hermeneutic into a homiletic, I would encourage you to join us here in the Twin Cities on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And it's going to be a great time. You can email me at josh@olivetreeviews if you have any questions about that. But I have a quick video from one of the pastors who's come previously.
Well, hey, my name is Jonathan with Renewed Life Church here in Washington State. I was plugged into the Pastor's Huddle with Mark Henry Ministries, actually through Olive Tree Ministries, in one of the weekly broadcasts. So I signed up, I registered, I went. When I walked into the room that was filled with pastors, what I found immediately was a common love for Jesus Christ and a common love for his word. And we were encouraged during our time together to approach God's word literally, historically, grammatically, and to view the events of this world through a lens of scripture. So it was very encouraging, very helpful to know that we were not alone in our understanding of the times that we are going through. And it was really neat to just see other pastors with that same passion. So I hope you get plugged in. I hope you will join us. Thanks.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great time at the Pastor's Huddle. Really looking forward to that.
And we were out visiting. We did a conference with Pastor Jonathan And what a wonderful time. He's a great servant of the Lord. And like he said, this is such a wonderful opportunity to not only learn the Bible, Bible prophecy, but the connections that you make with other people all across the country. It's right. just so worthwhile. So join us next week as we tackle another topic. Until then, keep looking up and God bless you all.